Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with Dr. Toni Frohoff and her lovely young assistant, Eve. And we're going to be covering things today that it's a very, very rare opportunity to talk with a real scientist that really knows the answers. And this is not something where it's a consensus of experts, which people refer to frequently because if they don't really know. But she knows. And so why don't we just start off with you, Toni, and give us a little bit of background about yourself and what your day job is and how this all came about.
Well, we were just talking about Texas, John, and I went to Texas A&M University for a few years in Wildlife and Fisheries Department. Learned a lot there about conservation and all sorts of things. And one of the things I ended up focusing on is how smart and how emotional are dolphins, whales, even our household dogs. How smart and intelligent are these animals, and what can we learn from them? Which has led me out onto the ocean, spend tons of hours literally watching these beautiful leviathans of the sea, the whales, and just really, there's so much more than meets the eye, John. It's, as you know, whenever you see dolphins, it's always a unique event.
Huh? Well, we've talked about them a little bit on the show before. Because people that travel and fish in the ocean, especially the blue water, and of course, if you're lucky enough to live in this area, you can see them in the surf. But there's a lot of questions that come up, and one of the obvious ones is if you're fishing for tuna, yellowfin tuna, and you see a pod of dolphins with a white belly, I think they call them spinner dolphins.
Typically, yes, yeah, spinner and spotted.
They don't always hold tuna, and just because you see tuna doesn't mean you see dolphins. But if you see dolphins in the distance, you want to go over there and check. So that's one of the reasons that we're interested. But one of the interesting things that I find is that no matter what you put in, apparently they're both feeding on the same fish, but for bait. But if you put a hook in it, you'll catch tuna, but you'll never, ever catch a dolphin.
Well, yes, and that's a good thing for the dolphins typically. And absolutely, dolphins have such unique intelligence, and I don't want to say unique in that they're necessarily the smartest of the animals, but they're definitely unique, and they're complex and sophisticated. They have cultures. They have complex societies. Some dolphins have even been found to use tools.
Whoa.
Yeah, and in Australia, for example, some dolphins will take, let's just say, a stick from the ocean floor, the equivalent of, and poke certain animals with that stick and get them to come out from under the sand so they can eat them.
They put it in their mouth or something?
Yeah, and then the fish pop out right into their mouth. Oh. So there you go, reverse Pez candy dispenser.
Wow. Fascinating, fascinating. And there's just so many questions that I'd like to know the answers to. And one of, I guess the first question is, there's been a lot of debate, but most of it seems to be anecdotal. Do fish feel pain?
Well, this is the question of the day. And if I may bar the articles that I have, I brought just a sampling here. Eve and I were looking at New York Times science section, so much more than plasma and poison, even looking at jellyfish intelligence. And these are at University of Copenhagen, Marine Biological Laboratory in Vancouver, Scientific American, Are Octopus Smart? And even in Psychology Today, The Emotional Lives of Crayfish. So we have deep intelligence that is really not perceived anecdotally anymore. We have extremely compelling evidence, scientifically obtained evidence, that these strange-looking animals may be more like us internally than we think they are.
Mm-hmm.
And they are clearly much smarter than we gave them credit for.
Well, if some people think it's cruel to have to put a hook in a fish's mouth. Does the obviously it knows it's there, but is it cruel? Is it painful for a fish?
Well, everybody's definition of what's cruel will be different. Some people wouldn't mind doing that to a dog. And in some parts of the world, I hate to say it, but some people do that and use dogs for bait. Fish, getting back to that, they absolutely have sensors around their mouths that are very physiologically similar to our own and mammalian sensors. They're pain receptors. So there's every reason to believe both from their physical aspects and looking at them from a neurological perspective, that the pain receptors act very similar to the way ours do. So if we do not want to cause pain to fish, we may reconsider the hows and whens and how or how often we are exposing them to hooks, because apparently it's very painful.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a lot of people who say, well, they can't feel pain because otherwise – you know, they wouldn't keep coming back to the same thing again.
Well,
or if
yes.
they have a, if there's a, let's say, an injury to the skin, or, you know, which happens, and sometimes the eagles will come down, you catch a trout that's been, got claw marks on it or beak marks on it, it doesn't seem to affect them that much.
Well, I wouldn't go to say that fish are as perceptive as our most intelligent humans, perhaps, even though as far as fish intelligence goes, they may surpass us. We might make very poor fish. As you know, their whole sensory systems are so different than ours. But a professor, Victoria Brenwaith, she's fisheries and biology at Penn State University, she just wrote a new book called Do Fish Feel Pain? And she's not somebody who argues against fishing, at least not in this book, but it's definitely provides us all this data. All these researchers are coming up with new ways of considering non-human animals. For example, dolphins. We thought it was fine to put dolphins in the equivalent of a bathtub. We're learning now that dolphins don't necessarily do so well in captivity. Psychologically, physically, and mind-body tied together, just like as with us. Too much stress can result in illness and death. And same thing with whale sharks, for example. Everybody wants a whale shark in captivity. And,
really?
Well, a lot of aquariums do. And it's proven to be pretty unsuccessful. And one was even released. Because people just thought that the whale shark, he was suffering too much. So I think people's ethics will vary, but it will depend perhaps upon new information that comes out. But fish do appear to feel pain.
Senses, anyway. Yeah,
absolutely.
Senses, yeah.
And they even seem to have an emotional response to their pain. So what we choose to do with that information is up to each individual, but it's a fascinating look at these creatures.
Oh, it is. And when you whale sharks, by the way, are fascinating creatures. They don't look anything like a shark, and they really don't look that much like a whale. But they're very docile, and in Baja you see them, and it's very popular for the people to get snorkeling to go in the water, because you can actually go out and touch them if you want, and they seem to be perfectly fine with that. Fascinating creatures, but they can be 40 feet long. I can't imagine putting them in a pool.
Well, you'd be amazed. I mean, if you look at what the orcas in pools, they're in pretty confined spaces. So there we go. A lot of big animals in small spaces, but that's happening less and less.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. We're going to take a break in about a minute, so I don't want to hurry up and make you answer quickly. But when we come back, I'd like to know, and it may not be a quick answer, but what is the most intelligent life other than humans that live in the ocean? So to find that out, you're going to have to stick around for a couple of minutes. But you are listening to Fish Talk Radio. We're going to be back with you in just a couple of minutes. But we would like to remind you, please log into Facebook, like us. And Rita is doing a fantastic job on that. So thank you, Rita. Oh, you're there. Sorry. And then, of course, you want to go to the website, and you can listen to this show anytime you want, as much as you want. So if you want to hear Tony, Dr. Tony, answer some of these questions, you can do that as many times as you like. So we appreciate you doing that. And so we would like to make sure that you tune back in to Fish Talk on fishtalkradio.com. We'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Drop them down, let them go. Jigging them up. Yeah, jigging them up. Time to head back to the barn. You too, Murphy.
The Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep-sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world-famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
World-class golf, fishing, and diving in the clear, warm waters of the Sea of Cortez with a true five-star resort. The Grand Heritage Hotel and Resort at Costa Baja, great value and without the hustle of other parts of Baja. On the white sand beach with Espiritu Santos Island minutes away. Signature restaurants, pools, and accommodations for an intimate weekend, weddings, or corporate events. On the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterra Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAJA.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with a couple of lovely young women. We have Dr. Tony. I think we mentioned a little bit, but you're a behavioral and biologist professor. Is that?
I'm a behavioral biologist specializing in marine mammals, which is a mouthful. But basically, I just love watching dolphins and whales and studying their behavior with respect to their biology.
And Eve is here with us as a backup.
She's an intern.
She's your bodyguard?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. Yeah. She's anyway, not that mean.
But we left people hanging, so we don't want to forget. I asked a question about intelligence. From what you see, what marine life appears to be the most intelligent in the water?
Well, this is a very subjective question because I have spent most of my time dedicated to dolphins and whales, and they are mammals like we are. So basically, I have a bias towards them, and I think a lot of people do. You know, a lot of people grew up watching Flipper, and even though that's a stereotype of a dolphin that doesn't really exist in reality, dolphins are very charismatic, personality-filled ocean people, so to speak. And they really, when I say people, and I'm including orcas here, by the way, I want to remind you, you already know this, but I'll remind myself that orcas, sometimes known as killer whales, are the largest members of the dolphin family.
Oh, I didn't know they were
Family Delphinidae. But I typically say orcas and dolphins because they look so different in some ways. But I think so many animals in the world are so much smarter than we ever thought. Mm-hmm. And that's what science is showing, and mm-hmm. it just makes the world that much more miraculous. But yeah, my mm-hmm. my vote for today mm-hmm. is dolphins and whales because their intelligence is, I think,
right.
so much more
I guess intelligence can mean different things.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we have knowledge of things that you can learn. But they seem to have senses or perceptions that are developed way beyond ours.
Absolutely. And I wanted to ask a question of my wonderful intern, Eve, because you just started you're in Santa Barbara now studying with me, and you have a particular passion for orcas, right?
Yes, that is true.
And I wanted to ask you what it is about orcas at this point in your career that brings you to believe they're intelligent and fascinating.
Well, I'd say the most compelling piece of evidence about orca intelligence would be their ability to pass the mirror self-recognition test. They have, when they look into a mirror and see themselves, they recognize it as themselves as opposed to another animal. And you can tell by the way they orient their body to look at markings that we put on them. And that's just absolutely fascinating and sort of demonstrates a sense of self. And then also you look at their culture, the way they hunt, their extremely sophisticated hunting strategies. For instance, there's one where they swim in a V formation towards an iceberg to wash a seal off. And think that's absolutely amazing to watch.
Right. Well, that's another question I want to ask about schooling. But let's stay with dolphins for a second, and maybe you can respond to this one quickly. Some years ago, I had the opportunity at SeaWorld to go like a behind-the-scenes tour, and we talked to one of the trainers. And, you know, we're talking about some of these other abilities that they have. And we mentioned earlier about why you never hook one is because they know there's a hook in it. But he told a story about a woman that was in with a swim with the dolphins, and they kind of pushed her to one corner and were kind of standing guard over her. And so the trainer said, "Are you pregnant?" And she goes, "No." And he goes, "Yes, you are."
Yeah, really good point, John, in that dolphins, we haven't touched on their, no pun intended, echolocation abilities, their sonar. And for those who, you guys use sonar for finding fish sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it really is, there's a sound that comes out and it reflects back to them, but it's also a sound as a pressure wave. So it can be felt. And so they perceive sonar in various ways, more mm-hmm. than just acoustically. But they get a much finer picture of what's in their environment than mm-hmm. what we do, because they can literally see through each other. Mm-hmm. They could probably tell how my heart is beating. If somebody is pregnant.
Wow.
Very, very certainly they can do that with one another. And no reason why physically they can't do that with each other. And if I could throw in there, they can stun fish with their sonar. So you might have some of your audience a little jealous of dolphins in that regard. They stun them and they eat them. So pretty trick.
Well, it's very, very much like a ultrasound.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. In fact, at least as far as I know, the military has not been able to create a sonar that is as precise and sophisticated as that which we see in dolphins. So we're learning from them, not just mm-hmm. about them. We're learning from them because they have these incredible mm-hmm. capacities for sensing the world and the marine environment that I think make any of mm-hmm. us green with envy.
Right.
And on top of that, they have cultures. And mm-hmm. as Eve was saying, they even have dialects. And when you look at the orcas, resident orcas in the Pacific Northwest, some people can tell who they are by their dialect, a.k.a. their accent.
Oh, yeah. And when they track them, I guess, the whales in particular, they'll kind of look for a pattern.
Yeah.
But we asked a question as the most intelligent creatures in the ocean, and your biased opinion was dolphins. Now, is that generic, or is there certain types of dolphins? What about killer whales? You mentioned they're dolphins also.
Yes, orcas are definitely dolphins. And, you know, I like to say, I think many marine mammal biologists, perhaps including Eve, would say her vote would go to the orca. I'm going to go to the common dolphin because that's who we're studying. And I just, the bottlenose dolphin, I have a particular affection for them. And just because they're not as huge and dramatic as the orcas. I think they exhibit a lot of behaviors that are similar to human and even chimpanzee and lion societies. Would your vote go to orcas, Eve, or how do you go?
It would definitely have to go to orcas for me.
And there you go.
Well, I didn't realize there were dolphins. Do they actually have the ultrasound ability and some of the other abilities that dolphins have?
Yeah, absolutely. And they have the single blowhole, the cone-shaped, cone-shaped teeth.
Right.
Yeah, and they are just great, great smart. And I wanted to point out that even though they're called killer whales, those who live in the societies, what we call resident orcas, they live in matrilineal groups. Even the males live with the mothers for life. And you don't find that even rarely in a human culture. I don't know how people would, but they, you know, they interact with other orcas and they mate with other orcas in other groups. But they stay with their moms for life. And some of them exhibit the most peaceful behavior, even more so than bottlenose dolphins in their cultures, in terms that they would just not hurt each other for the world sometimes, it seems. So here we're calling them killer whales, and they could be these really gentle giants
when
they're not hungry.
Just to mention that, you know, killer whales, well, they do feed on other marine mammals, but apparently, I don't know if there's ever been an instance where a human was attacked by a killer whale, at least on purpose.
Well, certainly not in the wild that we know of. And in the wild, they're incredibly peaceful. In captivity, you might have heard of the movie Blackfish.
Right.
And that's causing quite a ruckus because of the violence that can occur with orcas and dolphins, even though they don't mention that in captivity.
In a stressful situation.
But in the wild, they are – I mean, I'm not advocating that people go swim with them. I don't think that would be in anybody's best interest because it's always experimental. But they are – when it comes to peaceful families, we could learn a lot from these resident killer whales in British Columbia and Pacific Northwest. Sometimes we see them down here in California, but they're all over the world. And for these fierce animals, the radical capabilities for killing, they are sure loving with one another.
We talked, of course, about the sonar and the ability. What other type of intelligence do they have that's notable?
Anything that you'd like to share, Eve, that comes to mind?
It, you know, might be a little bit different knowledge than what humans do because, you know, they don't read books and they do go to schools.
Well, I'll jump in and just say that their intelligence, you know, it's not a matter of teaching them to speak English. I think we've been there, done that. And it's not that they can't, but they don't have vocal cords the way we do. And in fact, the way they vocalize is so much more sophisticated than the way we do. No offense.
So communication.
Exactly. Even with all this great equipment in the radio station, it's still hard to approximate the amount of sounds and the decibels and the frequencies, you know, it's just amazing what they can process.
This might be kind of way out there, but I'm wondering, kind of heard, it's been alluded to, that they can communicate with each other without necessarily making sound. Is that true?
Well, that is not something I think I can answer scientifically. You kind of stumped me on that one, which is good. You know, I think what you're looking at, I mean, would you say, I found the answer.
Okay.
Non-vocal communication. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They look at each other just as I can look at your body posture. Mm-hmm. You could look at mine. I'm gesticulating wildly as I'm talking because I'm excited about dolphins. And that conveys communication. So even if somebody looking at me couldn't hear me, you would probably be able to tell, that person would be able to tell to some degree what I'm feeling and what I'm trying to communicate. So when they can see each other underwater, they don't always just use their sonar. They'll use their vision. So I'll get out of the ESP question and get into the non-vocal behavior realm.
Well, we've got less than a minute, but there's other types of abilities that, fish in general, that they can feel through their skin and their lateral lines and things like that. I don't know if we'll have a chance to get much into that because we are going to go to a break now. So we would certainly, we're locked the door so you can't get away. But we would again like to tell you to go to fishtalkradio.com. You can listen to this all over and over and over again until you begin to understand what the doctor understands. Very fascinating stuff. And then also go to Facebook at fishtalkradio.com. We're going to be back with you momentarily, and maybe we'll get some ways to find out about you and your books when we come back. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio.
Santa Barbara Channel offers some of the most productive sport fishing in the world. Channel Island Sport Fishing offers the most boats to enjoy it. Call 805-382-1612. At Channel Island Sport Fishing, you pick the time and place you want to go. Nearshore halibut, calico bass, and rockfish, or fish the Channel Islands for white sea bass and yellowtail. For whale watching and private charters, Channel Island Sport Fishing in Oxnard has clean, modern boats with professional, friendly crews. Make your reservations for a deep sea adventure by calling 805-382-1612.
The East Cape of Baja, Mexico is world famous for sport fishing. Dorado, tuna, wahoo, marlin, sailfish, roosterfish, and pargo. The Van Wormer resorts make dreams come true at a price all can afford. Hotel Palmas de Cortez, Playa del Sol, and Hotel Punta Colorado have the biggest and best sport fishing fleet in all of Mexico. Call toll-free to 877-777-TUNA to find out how affordable world-class fishing can be. The finest resorts and the best boats in East Cape. Call 877-777-TUNA.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
S-A-N-D-O-S is how to spell luxury resort in downtown Cabo San Lucas. Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is the only five-star all-inclusive on the beach next to the marina in Cabo San Lucas. Angler-friendly Santos Finisterre Los Cabos is now an affordable world-class resort with the finest accommodations, food, and location anywhere. Enjoy your Cabo fishing adventure as you never have. Visit Santos.com and use discount code FISHTALK.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Are you ready for a whale-watching adventure? The Santa Barbara Channel is known as one of the best whale-watching areas in the world. Over 27 species of whales, dolphins, and porpoises come here throughout the year. And there's no better way to spend time with these wonderful animals than aboard the high-tech Condor Express. Bring a whole family for an unforgettable whale-watching adventure. The Condor Express is Santa Barbara's premier charter boat for whale-watching, island excursions, sunset cruises, and private charters. Call Sea Landing at 882-0088 to book your trip. We'll see you on the Condor Express.
Cutthroat, northern black, largemouth, speckled trout, dorado, coho, flying fish, walleye, bonefish, sunfish, codfish, monkfish, shark.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. I'm John Hennigan in studio with, we have Dr. Tony Fruhoff, who is a behavior and biologist specializing in marine mammals. Fascinating stuff. And if there's anything you still want to learn, she'll stick around for a little bit. And then, of course, we have Eve with us. But right now, we have Alexis from Lake Chabot, and she's going to give us some ideas what's going on up there and why we should pack up. Well, we don't have station wagons anymore. We'll pack up the SUV and head to Lake Chabot, right? Alexis, give us, first of all, give us a quick idea where you are.
So I actually work at the Marina Cafe. And over here, I'm actually at the concession, so we serve food, we do the boat rentals, we start you up with all the paperwork to go down to the dock and do all the fun with the kayaks, electric boats, patio boats with your big families, and you can go as single as one if you're going fishing by yourself, so that's also really great here. At Lake Chabot, we also have a lot of picnic areas that you could rent out, and farther on through the pads, like on the other side, we also have campgrounds, so it's actually a really great place to just spend your afternoons, and you can also spend overnights here, too. So it's pretty awesome working here and just great being able to encounter lots of families and lots of people throughout your day and making their days with our great services here.
Well, obviously, you're enjoying your job. Give us an idea if someone's traveling to California, where to find you.
Sorry?
If someone is... traveling to California and they're going to stop by, where are you located?
So Lake Chabot is actually in Castro Valley, and it's kind of in between Hayward, touch bases between San Leandro, and our park actually touches bases to San Leandro as well, so it's pretty big.
Okay, and the I know that you have fish in the lake.
Mm-hmm. So we actually do stock our lake every single week. Right now we're in that transition between the trout and the catfish, and it's pretty great here. There's great fishing spots. People come out every single day, and you could come out as early as 6 a.m. to as late as 7 p.m. when our cafe closes, but you could be at the park till 10 p.m.
Okay, sounds fantastic. And obviously you've got some fishing going on up there, and what's in season right now?
So right now, since it's going a little hotter, catfish are becoming more popular. Actually, some catch just came in. We have, I believe, 5 catfish that just came in, and earlier this morning we had one almost an 8-pounder, so it's about a 7.6.
Whoa, that sounds pretty exciting.
Big fish coming out of the lake today.
Okay, great. Well, you did a fantastic job, and of course, if somebody wants to get in touch with you before they show up there, what's an easy way to do that?
So actually, you could call us at 510-247-2526.
Okay, 510 area code, 247-2526.
No, sorry, so the area code is 510-247-2526.
Right, and call up and ask for Alexis, and not only can she give you directions, she can feed you.
Yes, I can.
Okay, you're awesome. Thank you.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All righty. Okay, now we have the best of the best. We have Dr. Tony Fruhoff, behavior and biologist professor. Is that right? If you're a doctor, you're a professor?
You know, yeah. I'm not really a professor technically right now, yeah. Okay. Although I do have students. So okay. you can just call
I'm
me.
I'm learning. Okay.
Sure, it's close
well,
enough.
And also we have John Prock now, who is a doctor of fishing. And he's the one that spends his time deep in the laboratories concocting secret formulas for catching fish. John, thank you for coming in with this. And we would like to, first of all, just real quickly, give us a quick idea what you do for Berkeley.
Well, thanks, John, and thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. I'm the product development director at Berkeley Pure Fishing. I am in regards to developing products for the soft plastics, the power baits, the things like that, and responsible for actually finding out and incorporating into the baits and lures that we make the things that fish like.
Okay. Well, we have an opportunity to put you and Dr. Tony together and see if we can get some ideas about, first of all, and this is an open question to both of you, what attracts fish to the hook? Now, we talked, I know a little bit about what you do, and I told a little bit of the story about gold bait, where I was using it in Baja, and a Dorado came up, took a bite out of it, and then came back and bit it again. So he must like it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have come back. But I know that was one of your products. But what is it that you do and the knowledge that you gain to bring the fish to the hook?
Well, I work with a fisheries research biologist, and he and his team are the ones that actually do the work with the fish. We've got aquaria of fish in the lab in Spirit Lake for freshwater fish, where we do our freshwater testing. And we have anywhere from 500 to 2,000 fish in there at one time. And we present different, I'll say, chemical cocktails to them or different foodstuffs to see how their reaction is and what they like. And by their retention time of how long they hold it in their mouth in the testing regimen or if they swallow it, determines whether they like it or not.
Interesting. Well, it's kind of like the Edison inventing the light bulb technique. You just keep trying until it works, huh?
And we've learned a few things over the last almost 30 years now. So we've got base materials that the fish like. We call it the meat and potatoes or bread and butter, however you like to. And then we found other chemical stimulants that you can add to that actually enhance those bread and butter or meat and potatoes, just like salt does to us.
Hmm. Okay.
Well, you mentioned Edison and the light bulb. I'm going to go a little backwards here. And John, go. I don't really know as much as you folks do, I think, about what attracts fish to perceived prey or whatnot. But I can tell you about what attracts dolphins to fish, because we're looking at, dolphins obviously eat fish. And they are huge aficionados, and that's their preferred diet. And we were talking earlier about the tuna dolphin issue, and how the you can often spot when tuna are around because of the dolphins there, and they're always looking at ways to mitigate so that the dolphins don't get harmed in the process. But we like a lot of the same food they do. Something that we can learn from dolphins and even seals and sea lions, even if it doesn't look like it all the time, is how to fish responsibly. They've been hunting fish for millennia. In the case of dolphins, millions of years, not just hundreds of thousands like we've been around. So we might learn a lot from the way that they hunt and the, perhaps refine our techniques accordingly.
So, in other words, the way dolphins hunt.
Exactly.
But we don't have sonar.
We don't, but there is something about the process that they, you know, they have a very good – talk about fish management. Those guys have it down. I mean, you don't see depleted fisheries because of dolphins or marine mammals. It might look that way on the surface, but they're often eating the prey of the target species that we like. So it's a fascinating web.
John, we've only got you for a couple of minutes, but I got a couple more questions. Other than taste, now here's a question for both of you. Obviously, they taste it when they get it in their mouth. But what about smell, and how far does that scent travel in the water?
Well, John, the scent travels quite a ways. It's just how good the receptors are on those different individual species, whether it be fish or the mammals type thing. All of them have different types of receptors in the way they detect scents and flavors. But everybody knows the shark stories, how far away and how many parts per million that they can detect and things like that. So it really varies. What we do is we try to put as much scent and flavor out there as we possibly can. With you have to remember, we're dealing with little bitty baits compared to the whole ocean or the whole lake system. So we're trying to get as much scent and flavor out as we can of that little bitty bait or lure as we can, so that it gets from the farthest possible.
Okay.
And John, sometimes that isn't good.
What other senses might they use to find the bait? Obviously, sight would come into it somewhere. And what do they sense in their lateral lines? Is there anything other than the scent and the taste that you go that you look at?
Oh, definitely there is. And like I say, I'm not a biologist and don't have all that expertise. But from the studies we've done and the research, we've found out that sight seems to be number one, especially in the clear water species. Then they revert to things like the scent and the lateral lines for vibration that definitely come in more so in turbid or cloudy water conditions or dark water conditions. And then the last thing that usually comes in is the flavor, even though they don't have to have it in their mouth to taste it, because some species of fish have taste buds on the outside of their body. And so it's kind of that type of scenario, and depending on the species and the water conditions, they use them to different degrees.
They have they can sense taste on the outside of their bodies. Is that what
yes.
you're saying? Really? Tony's shaking her head yes. In 30 seconds, can you give us an idea how that works?
John, I'm deferring to you. You're the man out there.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm sorry. I don't like to dominate the conversation, but the what we've seen and documented, especially catfish in the freshwater.
Oh, because they've got the whiskers.
The barbels.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. Okay.
And
cool.
You've also got taste buds on the underside of their belly. They're literally a swimming tongue.
Well, okay. John, I know that you're traveling. You're on your cell phone, and we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Fascinating stuff. But, again, we're about out of time on this segment, so we would thank you very much, and obviously we're going to be talking to you some more. You are listening to Fish Talk Radio. Thank you, John. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. Come visit us on Facebook and make sure you go to fishtalkradio.com. We appreciate you tuning in.
Yellow flies and fish. Oh, Lord. Honey, that sounds like rain. Hurry up, woman. Get the youngest. Let's go.